We're beginning with Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 8, Churning of the Milk Ocean, text number 10. But I'm just going to read the translation, and we'll read the Sanskrit for text 11. Translation, the King of Heaven, Indra, brought a suitable sitting place for the Goddess of Fortune. All the rivers of sacred water, such as the Ganges and Jamuna, personified, and each of them brought water, pure water and golden water pots from Mother Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune. Text 11. Abhishe Chakika Bhumira Ahara Sakalo Shadi Gava Pancha Pavitrani Vasanta Madhu Madhavo Abhishe Chanika. Paraphernalia required for installing the deity. Bhumi, the land. Aharat, collected. Sakala, all kinds of. Oshadi, drugs and herbs. Gava, the cows. Pancha, five different varieties of products from the cow. Namely milk, yogurt, clarified butter, cow dung, and cow urine. Pavitrani, uncontaminated. Vasantaha, personified spring. Madhu Madhavau, flowers and fruits produced during spring or the months of Chaitra and Vaishakha. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The land became a person, collected all the drugs and herbs needed for installing the deity. The cow delivered five products, namely milk, yogurt, ghee, urine, and cow dung, and spring personified collected everything produced in spring during the months of Chaitra and Vaishakha, April and May. Purport, Panchagavya, the five products received from the cow, namely milk, yogurt, ghee, cow dung, and cow urine are required in all ritualistic ceremonies performed according to the Vedic directions. Cow urine and cow dung are uncontaminated, and since even the urine and dung of a cow are important, we can just imagine how important the animal is for human civilization. Therefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, directly advocates Goraksha, protection of cows. Civilized men who follow the system of Varnashram, especially those of the Vaishya class, who engage in agriculture and trade, must give protection to the cows. Unfortunately, because people in Kali Yuga are Munda, all bad, and Sumunda Mataya, misled by false conceptions of life, they're killing cows in the thousands. Therefore, their unfortunate spiritual consciousness and nature disturbs them in many ways, especially through incurable diseases like cancer and through frequent wars and among nations. As long as human society continues to allow cows to be regularly killed in slaughterhouses, there can not be any question of peace and prosperity. This material world, as we know, is a reflection of the spiritual world, and in the spiritual world, Krishna is known as that he is herding thousands of cows. Now, it's not by accident that in the eighth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the demons and the demigods, along with Achyuta, are churning the ocean of milk. They're not churning the ocean of ghee, because that's already been churned, nor the ocean of water, nor the ocean of yogurt. Of course, they could churn yogurt and get ghee from it. Here they're specifically churning milk. Because milk is the first product that comes from the, one of the original products that come from the cow from which yogurt and ghee can be made, which is supposed to be the basic food for human beings to purify their consciousness or elevate their consciousness. As I said before in Ayurveda, milk is declared to be the only food which is given out of love. And human life is meant to develop bhakti, or love, for Krishna specifically. And therefore it says, Pravritim cha, navritim cha, jana navidur asura, nesocham naspichavcharo nesatyam teshu vidyate. Those who are demoniac, the asuras, asura means they don't follow the principles of scripture. It's not that sura means that they have horns and a tail, and therefore you can see who in the sura is very easily. Unless they hide their tail. No, actually, asura means one who doesn't follow the principles of scripture. And the principle of scripture, of course, ultimately is meant to serve Krishna. But to serve Krishna means to serve his instructions and his example. And his example is he protects cows eternally. And not only protects cows, but he also milks cows. And in the Vedic culture, festivals are also surrounded with cows. Even they, when they have fun, they throw yogurt on each other. And ghee and whatever. The sacrifices are done with ghee. And therefore the cow is central, both in the spiritual world and in human civilization for elevation. Is also supposed to be central. In the Shri Upanishads, it says that we should understand both mundane and spiritual knowledge side by side. It doesn't mean mundane in the sense that how to create a computer. It means mundane to understand how the material nature is actually working. And the material nature works for human civilization as we find in the first canto, in the last chapters of the first canto, that unless human civilization protects the cows, then it becomes a demoniac civilization. As we find the Shudra beating on the cow and the bull, dressed as a king. And Prabhupada explains that this is the root cause of all sinful activity. It's not that sinful activity is just arising because people have nothing else to do. Of course, that's true also. Because people have nothing else to do. They don't know what's to be done. Pravritim. Therefore, nivritim. And they don't know what's not to be done. Since cow protection has not become the basis of civilization, people have a lot of time on their hand to do sinful activities. Because they're not protecting the cow, they're not protecting the land. And because they're not protecting the cow and land, they're relying on others to provide them their food. They don't go to the, most people, maybe here, some people have gardens, whatever. But most places in the world, people simply go to the supermarket and get their food. Not maybe most part places. We could say the so-called civilized countries, where there is predominance of the Naradamas, the so-called civilized people, are actually the lowest among mankind. They appear to be civilized because they can build big buildings in honor of their sense gratification. They seem to be technologically advanced so they can perform sinful activities in a very efficient way. Just like the Holocaust in Europe during the 1940s was able to be performed because of the technological advances they made so they can efficiently kill millions of people. So similarly, technological advancement means be able to destroy the earth and the people within it and the animals within it in a very efficient way. Destroy their physical body and destroy their consciousness. And people are very proud of their so-called advancement. But actually what it leads to is, as we find out, that Kali, the personification of sinful activities, who represented illicit sex, gambling, meeting, and intoxication, he was beating on the bull and the cow. He wasn't even beating on a Brahmin. He was beating on a bull and cow. Of course, when he got time, he probably beat on Brahmins too. And when Pariksha Maharaj chastised him and threatened to kill him, he so-called surrendered, and Pariksha Maharaj gave him a place to live, namely wherever there is gold. Because whether there's gold, there's going to be falsity and all the and pride and all the other things that go along, which lead to illicit sex, meat eating, gambling, intoxication. So nowadays, people don't even have gold anymore. They have a piece of paper. So with that piece of paper, someone can manufacture the pieces of paper and keep everyone in slavery, working for a piece of paper. Apart from the land, apart from protecting cows, living off of the slaughter of animals. A piece of paper allows people to live off the slaughter of animals and make everything very complicated. If you have a cow and you have some land and a bull, then the cow gives essential food in the form of milk, which is converted into yogurt. The cow and the bull fertilize land with cow dung and urine. The bull plows the land in order to get the grains, and with the grains and the vegetables and the milk products that the cow and the bull make, human society can live very peacefully, and they're able to do it if they understand that life is meant for spiritual advancement. Then they can spend time chanting Hare Krishna, hearing about Krishna, and understand what Krishna is saying in Bhagavad Gita and other books. But when people are taken off the land, they live in a city, they work for a piece of paper, and ultimately their ability to do it is based upon cow slaughter, bull slaughter, exploiting the land, then the result is that people become more and more divorced from reality. And more, since they're not really taking the time to do something which is actually purifying, even by tilling the land themselves, living off the land and performing some sacrifice so that the rain comes in the right time, so that they are actually in reality, as Krishna says, anad bhavati bhutani parjana anasambhava, that all living entities subsist on food grains, and food grains come from rain, and rain comes from performance of sacrifice. So at least in a real culture, even in Europe and America, even some hundreds of years ago, they were somewhat God conscious. They weren't demons and atheists who didn't believe in God, and therefore thought that they could simply get the rain. It comes automatically. They did no need for religious principles. There's no need for protecting the cow, protecting the land, and getting food grains. No, they think it's all going to come automatically if they get some paper money that's been concocted by a few people controlling it, printing it up, and then everyone else doesn't know how to spend it. They don't spend it for cow protection, most people. They don't spend it for real food. They don't spend it for sacrifice. And therefore, we have what's called climate change, and you have what's called wars and pestilence and all kinds of diseases, as Prabhupada mentions here, all based upon the fact that people are eating, sleeping, mating, and defending in an irregular way, eating too much, sleeping too much, mating too much, and anxiety too much, because they're disconnected from the actual source of their maintenance. They're also actual source of their livelihood, namely the land and the cows and the bulls. Therefore, killing the cows and bulls, they've had to go and replace it with digging into the earth to get oil, manufacturing huge machines, making such a big, an endeavor to provide food grains when all they needed was a few cows and a little land, and they could till the land, and they don't need all this machinery. They don't need all the oil. They don't need all the things that are causing all the wars and the animosity and the pestilence and the contamination of the air, the water, everything. They don't need it. But because they're mad, they're driven by these asuras who have taken God, have made their lives so complicated, they've taken them off the land, instead of protecting the cows, made them accessories to the slaughter of the cows. So, obviously that can't go on. And what we're living in right now is a huge reaction for all the sinful activities that have been going on for centuries. And it's not going to be a very pretty result. It's not going to be, you know, some protest is not going to go around and they're going to change everything. They couldn't care less about the protest. Matter of fact, under the laws of karma, you know, people who are against the whole thing are going to collapse this. You know, when society collapses, it's exactly what the demons want. They want society to collapse. Just like when there was one demon, Asura, his name was Banasura. He had 1,000 arms. And as we know, when you have 1,000 arms, when you have something, you want to utilize it. You just don't look at it in the mirror and take pictures of it. You want to do something with it. So he wanted to fight with people because that's what arms are meant for, is to fight. But he couldn't find anyone in the universe to fight with, so he went to his benefactor, Lord Shiva, and he asked Lord Shiva, "Can I fight with you?" And Lord Shiva said, "Don't waste my time." He said, "Don't worry. One day will come when you'll meet your opponent and he'll crush you to pieces and your flag of victory will no longer fly." And Banasura, instead of becoming depressed or anxiety, he became elated, because due to lust, when you're lusting for something, it's a very big botheration. Somehow or another you want it to happen. So when you have 1,000 arms lusting to fight and no one could fight with you, then you want to get defeated, you want to get crushed, so this anxiety over fighting will go away. So he's looking forward to the day we get defeated. So human civilization has become beyond lust, into the area, beyond even greed, into the area of complete frustration, anger. And so all we can expect from anger is destruction. And why is it taking place? Because people are in ignorance. They don't know what's to be done, know what's not to be done. Neither cleanliness, they're full of lust, anger, greed, illusion, etc., etc. Nor cleanliness, nor truthfulness. They've denied God, they denied reality. Matter of fact, if you talk about reality, even devotees sometimes become disturbed. They have faith in the demoniac society, faith in demoniac education, demoniac medicine, demoniac agriculture. They think, you know, why should we complain so much? Why should we take this protection of the cows and the land and Brahminical culture so seriously? So out of that, out of the mode of ignorance, out of the slaughter of animals, out of the raping of the earth, has come all these problems, and also has manifested itself in all these perverted things, like all these sex problems that people have, and gender and things like that, the role of man and woman in society, because they're completely divorced from reality. The woman doesn't need the man anymore. She can go to the government and beg, kill all the children, abort all the children she wants, and there's no problem, because children have no economic value. They don't help in the field. They don't even support the parents when they get old. They put them in an old age home waiting to be killed by their people who are taking care of them. So children become useless. Therefore, they can be killed off. The cows are useless. The bulls are useless. But they're not useless. There's huge reaction from doing such activities. and the more perverted society becomes, the more severe the reaction will be. So you destroy the cow, you destroy your children, you destroy the bull, you take away people's consciousness, destroy relationships, then people are going to starve to death. That's going to be the result of it. The demons, Krishna will arrange it through the demons, the head demons, so all the other demons will starve to death and kill each other over the basic things like food. Now they're killing themselves over oil, but it's not oil. It's the production of ultimately food grains, which is the basis of all economic development. Oil is just an indirect way of getting food grains. But they've destroyed the land with insecticides, pesticides, all these different things, all the chemicals polluting the whole atmosphere, all the food, all the water. They've destroyed everything. And now they're going to destroy each other. So, unless the devotees have some intelligence and realize the value of protecting the cow, protecting the land, of living a simple life, then our chanting of Hare Krishna is not going to really do very much. Chanting Hare Krishna, if it actually produces some realization that society has to be changed towards a more practical way of living here, and it's not their idea of climate change and stopping carbon dioxide. So this is all just part of the demoniac agenda because they've lost their intelligence. They don't know what the real problem is. The real problem is they're killing, not protecting the cows and getting the prop and working in a proper way that doesn't destroy the world that we're living in. And it's not by not eating, taking from plastic cups and things. That's just, maybe it's like blowing on a boil. Unless the emphasis is on cow protection, protecting the land, self-sufficiency, and only the things that are necessary for preaching and for health, properly maintaining our body for preaching, that much technology we should get into in order to ultimately convince people to get back to the land, get back to the actual basis of human civilization, rather than progress further and further into technological development, which is producing the idea that even people are useless. They're just useless eaters. We got to get rid of them too. The only thing that has any value is the few people controlling the whole thing, few demons who are controlling everything, is let's get rid of everyone except for us. But they're also foolish, because material nature is not so kind to demons either. Anyhow, this is not just something, just some fairy tale, the demons and the demigods churning the ocean of milk. It's not by accident it's the ocean of milk that they're churning, nor that from there either poison or nectar is coming out. So either human civilization takes care of the cows, and human civilization means the few people in civilized are supposed to be the devotees. Because by the mercy of the Holy Name, we're supposed to become somewhat civilized. And with that somewhat intelligence we've gained, we should understand the importance of cow protection and living off the land. And if we don't see that as part of our preaching, our connection with spreading the Holy Name, giving people intelligence how to live in such a way so they can take advantage of the Holy Name, then we're also missing the point. We're thinking that we're going to survive in this demonic civilization, and we'll get everything we need. It's becoming clear that present civilization is destroying itself, and if we don't become something different from present civilization, we'll be part of the group that's being destroyed also. So with that happy note, I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Of course, we could say everything's going to be all right. Chaitanya, we just chant Hare Krishna, and everything's going to change magically. But it doesn't look like it's changing. So we can put our head in the sand and pretend it's not really happening. It's all going to wind up. The fairy tale is going to wind up that the prince riding on the white horse comes and saves the princess. But that's in the fairy tales. That's not Kali Yuga. Yes, any questions or comments? Yes. Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj, for the class. Yes, it is very obvious that even for our survival, we are going to have to make that change. And farm communities is the way to go. As Srila Prabhupada said, 50% of my work is undone. I wanted to establish one ashram. So,
well, I'm not so sure about that 50%, but anyhow, it's an important part.
Okay. So I would like to know what you think every temple should be doing to move in that direction.
I think they should move in that direction. It's not so difficult. It's just a question of prioritizing. We don't stop the Sankirtan movement, but we have a plan to actually engage people. It's not that there's not enough devotees, it's just there's too many devotees doing nothing. The Sankirtan devotees. Too much engaged in eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. And we ourselves, we're not really, you know, have a clear path exactly what we want to do and how we're going to do it. Even if we don't accomplish it, but because Krishna can't do anything with us, because we don't know what we're supposed to be doing.
So, well, we need to have a plan.
We had a plan, and we actually a workable plan, and started work. Then Krishna would manifest the miracles. But because we're just like, you know, we're stuck in our, you know, in our dreamland that everything's going to be all right. We're like the rabbit who sees a big animal attacking it, closes its eyes and say, oh, go away.
Mm.
So maybe at the time when the big animal sinks its teeth into the rabbit, then the rabbit starts realizing maybe I should try to do something.
And then it's too late.
That's right. So we'll see how long it is before it's too late. So Prabhupada, when he came, he established not only the chanting, which he did at first, because otherwise no one would have any brains whatsoever, unless for the holy name. He then established the regular principles. Then he tried to establish Gurukul, farm communities, and everything else. It wasn't just Prabhupada had nothing else to do, and therefore he decided to do Gurukul and farm communities and cultural revolution and whatever. No, it's all part of the package. And unless we see it as part of the package, then we're just going to be, you know, we're not going to have a balanced existence. Just like we want to live as if we're, you know, sense gratification is normal. Eat too much, sleep too much, etc., etc. And at the same time, chant Hare Krishna. It's not workable. It doesn't work that way. You can't chant Hare Krishna and have an unbalanced life. We can't chant Hare Krishna and have our children sent to the slaughterhouses. We can't chant Hare Krishna purely and live off demoniac civilization. We can't chant Hare Krishna purely and at the same time not have proper relationships between men and women. It's not possible. It's just not going to work. It's just a dream that the demons have produced for us in their fairy tales, the movies, and their popular entertainment. It's just a dream, a nightmare, actually, leading to hell. And because we've been brought up with that, instead of being brought up with pure milk, we've been brought up with Disneyland and other types of, you know, so-called education, entertainment. We've been fed poison. And therefore, we're living in a fairy tale like everyone else. A nightmare like everyone else in human civilization.
So, do you think that we can come up with a plan by sitting down and discussing and coming up with a team to start putting these things into place?
Well, I'm only the GBC here. We have the temple president. What do you think, Ananta? What do you think, Ananta? Good. You think what? I know. You're listening.
No, I'm asking this because I lived on a farm for many years And it was very challenging and difficult. I don't know what we accomplished, but maybe, you know, when you start with something, you know, start with a clean slate, there is hope because we learn from the mistakes of others. And so maybe we can sit down and discuss something and see how to move in that direction.
Yeah, it'll be, Krishna will provide everything. It's not that we stop the preaching. The preaching is essential because otherwise who's going to live on the farm? Who's going to do these? Everything is essential, but it has to be balanced, that's all. And right now we're being squeezed by the material nature. We better do something fairly quickly that Krishna is waking us up. This has been going on for centuries. Ever since Sringi cursed Maharaj Parikshit and the Brahminical caste or part of society became degraded, the degradation of society has been going on consistently, taking people off land, technological advancement, etc., etc. So we're not against technological advancement, but it has to be utilized in Krishna service. We won't be able to have the brains to do it if we're also depending upon modern civilization and its demoniac culture, or demoniac economic system, especially. It's not based upon Dharma. It's not based upon the idea of liberation. It's just based upon mindless sense gratification, economic exploitation of economic development by economic development for mindless sense gratification without any higher objective of life. So, either now or in our next lifetime, we're going to have to eventually come to grips with the fact that this fairy tale that we've been indoctrinated with, it's not reality. And it doesn't produce peace and happiness and prosperity. It produces exactly the opposite.
Thank you.
Anything else? Yes.
Thank you for inspiring lecture. I was just wondering, when you mentioned the fairy tale, so how can we? I noticed that this is sometimes difficult to recognize that you are tricking yourself, that you are in the fairy tale. So how can we recognize in individual scope that we are in fairy tale?
Just ask yourself, who am I? And if you remember Bhagavad Gita 2:13, the fact that your body is changing, all our bodies are changing, but we're not changing. So we can see that we can see right away we're in a fairy tale. I am this body, these things belong to me, this is my land, this is my country, this is mine. This is all fairy tale, because we're not this body, it's all Krishna's. And all the other fairy tale just stems from that. As soon as we think we're this body, then lust is there, greed is there, anger is there, illusion is there, forgetfulness is there, loss of real intelligence, spiritual intelligence, and then we act in our fairy tale. Of course, I don't know if fairy tale is the best word. It's more or less like, what do they call it? Yes. Well, I'm trying to remember what's a better word than a fairy tale? I guess a nightmare. Anyhow, what is the other question?
So, Valapi Knapan has a question. Hare Krishna Maharaj, question about anger. Sometimes I notice anger in myself as a reaction to something said to me. What to do with this anger? Tolerate this kind of reactions. Try to analyze what kind of lust it is coming from.
That sounds good. We stop lust and anger won't be there. We stop greed, anger won't be there. That's one way of doing it. The other thing is, see why we're frustrated. Ultimately, we're frustrated because we're not Krishna conscious. As I said, that we're hankering for Krishna and we're unhappy the fact that we don't have Krishna. So we increase our Krishna consciousness, then our frustration will go away. But in order to do that, we have to live a Krishna conscious life. Not that theoretically we're increasing our Krishna consciousness, but we're not eating properly, we're not sleeping properly, we're not doing anything properly in the material world. we think we're going to increase our Krishna consciousness. It's like trying to light a fire and pour water on it at the same time. It's not going to work. So we have to see how our habits should be dovetailed. As Prabhupada said, that one should organize one's life in such a way is that throughout the 24 hours a day, one cannot help but think about Krishna. So that means even when we sit down to eat, we have to honor prasadam. Not that we look at it like we're going to be ravenous and devour the food that's before us. We have to see it as prasadam, Krishna's mercy. Then we'll remember Krishna. Then we'll be Krishna conscious when we're eating. Maya won't take away our intelligence even when we're eating prasadam. So that's one thing to work on. And if we're Krishna conscious when we're eating, when we're sleeping, in our relationships with each other, then the lust to devour and enjoy will go away because we'll have a higher taste in Krishna consciousness. We want to serve rather than devour and exploit and enjoy. So-called enjoy. Anything else?
I have a question about pride, Maharaj. As Srila Prabhupada said, in today's age, even a pauper is proud of his penny. So like this, we are so beset with all the bad qualities of Kali Yuga. How to get rid of pride?
Become an instrument for Krishna. We're 1/10,000th the size of Tipihara in size, and we realize that when we become Krishna's instrument. We utilize whatever we have in Krishna's service, and when Krishna reveals himself to us, then we'll see how wonderful Krishna is, how wonderful everyone else is, and how small we are. We see who we actually are. How can you be proud if you realize you're 1/10,000th the size of the tip of your size, completely dependent on Krishna and his devotees? Where can there be any pride?
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Grandharaya Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.